Backseat Box Office, episode number 100 for the weekend of August 17th through the 19th, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Lena.
And we are the Backseat Producers. Welcome, Backseat Yay. Producers 100.
Yay!
All right, enough of that. I was out last week. I was sick. And Scott was wrong, by the way.
About what?
Scott was wrong twice because he said this in two different places. Both in his Total Recall Backseat Quickie, and he made mention of this during the podcast. He said two things.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is correct. One of them is incorrect. He said that no Arnold movie had ever been remade and no Philip K. Dick movie had ever been remade until Total Recall. That is untrue. It is true that no Philip K. Dick movie has been remade.
I'm trying to think of Arnold movies because that would be the only thing that I might know the answer to. Did they redo Running Man?
No.
Clearly that's not the answer.
No. No, the answer is Conan the Barbarian.
That's right.
Yeah, they just redid that.
Yeah, they did. Okay.
So, Scott said on Twitter that it didn't count. I disagree because it was.
How does that not count?
I don't know. I think he's just trying to weasel his way out of it using his Canadian logic.
Lord knows that doesn't hold water.
No. No. Though he did, his Backseat Quickie, doing the tour guide of...
I have to listen to that.
...of Scott Pilgrim and Toronto was pretty cool. I actually thought that was kind of nifty. It was something very different. If anyone's ever in Toronto, they could actually listen to that and kind of get a sense of where everything is and a little more background about each of the places in the movie.
He told me that was coming down the line when I was telling him about the different little parts in Boston of Ted and the one place that was not too far from my house.
You could do the same episode for Ted.
I could.
Maybe when Ted comes out on DVD. So that way you have a chance to pick out the places a little better or something.
That's true. Okay. I can give it a shot.
Something to think about in the future.
Yes.
All right, so that's what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about how the movies did.
Okay, how the movies...
I didn't give picks last week, so no, I don't have a horse in this race. at all.
Okay, last week, I'll go over the top six because that kind of covered some picks. Number one, Bourne Legacy at $38.1 million. Number two, The Campaign at $26.6 million. Number three, The Dark Knight Rises at $19 million. Number four, Hope Springs at $14.7 million. Number five, Total Recall at $8.01 million. And Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days at number six with $8 million. And I should have been mean and marked off BD and someone else for calling it Hope Floats. Because that would have been one less 25.
Yeah, but that movie was also... Well, I can't speak for Hope Springs, but Hope Floats was terrible.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it really was. I actually kind of want to see Hope Springs, though. So
really?
Yeah. I think it's one of those movies that it could either be really good or completely terrible. And I just haven't figured out yet what it's going to be.
And really, I'm afraid it would be terrible. And then I'd be out money.
No, I wouldn't be out money because I won't go pay to see it. I will wait till it comes on Netflix or Hulu, which
well,
I'm already
makes
paying
perfect
for.
Sense.
So,
yes.
Or probably Stars, because this looks like a movie that would show up on Stars.
It does.
which I pay for since I don't pay for HBO.
I have HBO. Well, I honestly haven't watched it lately. Oh, I'm sorry.
Man, I'm really depressed that I didn't pick this week because I'm pretty sure I would have got a 25. That this was very clear that it was that these movies would have lined up like this.
Well, a lot of the 23s were just a lot of flip flops.
Mm.
And mostly 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. That kind of seemed to be a bit of a pattern. So I suppose since
I guess that was, I don't know, I would have never assumed that The Dark Knight would have made as much as The Campaign in its opening weekend. Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis still have a lot of clout, and man, anybody poking fun of politics right now is awesome.
I actually got that one. I got 1, 2, and 3 right, and I flip-flopped my picks. I had Total Recall at 4 and Hope Springs at 5.
Now, I would have figured, I don't know, looking at Total Recall's numbers, I would have probably expected them to be a little bit closer than they were, but I think Hope Springs, I would have still picked it around the $12 million mark, just because of the amount of advertising, and it's got Tommy Lee Jones and what's her name in it.
And the other thing was I picked first, which
after that's the right. You did.
And then after the fact, I get to hear all the arguments and say, ah, crap, I should have picked different. But once I pick and we're done.
Yep.
I play a fair game.
All right, so
we have quite a bit coming out this week.
You got a 23 this week?
Oh, I got a 23, yes.
I got a nothing I didn't pick, so. Though I did fall a couple of spots because apparently
just one.
Didn't. Well.
I think.
Yeah, because technically we were tied, so.
Yeah.
We were tied for fourth, and so I dropped a fifth just out of the default of. The person I was tied with got a better score than we both had.
And I moved up to sixth.
So you're right under me then.
And I'm between you and Jonathan. Lucky me, lucky me. The big boss and big hands. Happy birthday to me.
There you go. All right. So, yeah, we've got 4 new movies coming out this week.
One tonight? No, that was yesterday.
No, it was tonight.
Oh, that's right, because it's 1 a.m. here, so it's already tomorrow.
It's already tomorrow for you.
Yep.
Which one is actually the Wednesday opener?
The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll go ahead and read the description, because I've seen the trailers for it, and it looks, well... Let me read the description first. Director-writer Peter Hedges brings enchantment to the screen with The Odd Life of Timothy Green, an inspiring, magical story about a happily married couple, Cindy and Jim Green. It should be Jim Beam. Jennifer Garner.
That would make it happy.
Well, yeah. And Joel Edgerton, who can't wait to start a family, but can only dream about what a child would be like.
Oh.
So it's the beginning of Up all over again. When young Timothy shows up on their doorstep one stormy night, Cindy and Jim and their small town of Stanleyville learn that sometimes the unexpected can bring some of life's greatest gifts. I have a feeling that this movie is going to end badly.
Like, oh, it's written by one of Frank Zappa's kids, or co-written. Amit Zappa.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. You haven't seen any previews for it?
I've seen the trailer for it. It looks terribly sappy.
Yes. And you know what? Much as I like kids, someone that has vineyards clinging to his body would freak me out a little bit.
Yeah. This movie looks like it's just going to be full of plot holes. Like, how does this kid get into school?
Where did he come from?
Seriously. Do you know how much paperwork it takes to get a child registered in school?
I can imagine.
Today was the first day of school, and it's like a book worth of paperwork.
Really?
Ugh,
wow.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, so that right there is like, come on. I can buy a kid growing up from plants, but getting a kid registered without all that paperwork, you are pushing the line. Because damn it, there are shots to be had. There are eye tests. There's dental. You have to get their teeth checked. There's a lot of stuff.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah, because apparently some people just don't do that, so they have to remind people that they need to get those things done, and they do it through forced paperwork in the school system.
Wow. I can remember when I was a kid, maybe twice a year, they would have the dentist come through, give you those little tablets to chew on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Showed all the gunk on your teeth.
Yeah. So, let's see. Let's get this one out of the way. Sparkle.
Oh, Lord.
So, this movie's release date is, it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
There are zero reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
None.
I was just going to say, I don't even see it.
The user ratings, 5,107 people have rated it. 79% want to see it.
Then they can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Just the fact that they're not letting reviewers see this movie, that doesn't bode well. That never bodes well. Whoa.
Sorry.
That never bodes well.
Yeah.
Musical prodigy Sparkle, Jordan Sparks, struggles to become a star while overcoming issues that are tearing her family apart. From an affluent Detroit area and a daughter to a single mother, Whitney Houston, she tries to balance a new romance with music manager Styx while dealing with the unexpected challenges her new life will bring as she and her two sisters strive to become a dynamic singing group during the Motown era.
Oh, God.
So it's somebody who has it made and is going to struggle because she doesn't get everything handed to her, is the way I read that.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Wow.
Wah.
Don't care. I'm going to go ahead and say it, and it's going to be rude, and somebody's going to probably be annoyed that I say it. But those people that would be annoyed I say it probably don't listen to this program anyway. So I think my peeps will agree. I think the only reason this movie is seeing theaters at all is because the death of Whitney Houston.
Yep.
That is sad to say, but, and it's sad that she died so young, but I think somebody's just trying to market on that, and this movie probably does not deserve the release it's getting.
I have to say I absolutely agree with you. Yeah.
Alright, so now to the fun movies that are coming out, because I kind of want to see both of them. I've seen the first Expendables movie, and you know what? I couldn't tell you a thing that it's about, but I remember that it was a lot of fun.
Was Helen Mirren in the first one?
No.
Or am I thinking of something different?
You were thinking of Red. And that movie was amazing. That movie was great.
I never did see, and I want to see it.
Oh, that movie's so good. Red. That movie's really good, and they're making a sequel to that. And I will, I will see that one in the theater.
I love Helen Mirren.
Oh, she's awesome. I would. If we had lists in this house that were like, the permission to step out on the marriage list, yeah, she'd be way up on that list.
I can understand that totally. She just is cool on so many levels.
She's cool and she's classy and she's hot and she's just like, she is way, way up on my list of just cool people because some of the movies she's made and things like that. But we watch Glee. Do you ever watch Glee?
Yes.
All right. So Becky, the disabled girl, the Downs girl,
took me a minute. Mm-hmm.
And it's happened on at least two episodes at this point. When Becky is the narrator of the show, because sometimes the characters narrate what's going on.
Right.
When Becky narrates, it's Helen Mirren's voice, and that is so freaking awesome to me.
That is cool.
Yeah, that she's like, And one of the things is like, it's my voice, it's my head, I can sound however I want.
There you go.
Just, and she can just pull off that, that classy but sassy. It's so good. It is so good. And it always makes me smile when that happens.
Yeah.
But Helen Mirren is not involved in this franchise.
Boy, did I take this off the track.
That's quite all right. I'm sure if some of the other guys were on, we would have probably just kept on rolling with it. So the description, I was looking at the wrong site. That was the description on HSX. It was like two lines. Whoa, I dropped my pencil. The Expendables are back, and this time it's personal. Barney Ross, Sylvester Stallone, Lee Christmas, Jason Statham, Yin Yang, Jet Li, Gunnar Jensen, Dolph Lundgren.
These names are great.
Toll Road, Randy Couture, and Hail Caesar, Terry Crews, with newest members, Billy the Kid, Liam Hemsworth, and Maggie Yunan aboard, are reunited when Mr. Church, Bruce Willis, enlists the Expendables to take on a seemingly simple job. The cast looks like an easy paycheck for Barney and his band of old-school mercenaries, but when things go wrong and one of their own is viciously killed, the Expendables are compelled to seek revenge in hostile territory where the odds are stacked against them.
That sounds interesting. I did not see the first one.
These movies, it is... Imagine, like, every 80s movie, how ridiculous they are.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You got it. We're done. That's it. Okay. You got it. Sylvester Stallone writes these. They're just a lot of fun. Chuck Norris has a part in this one. Mickey Rourke. Jean-Claude Van Damme shows up. John Travolta, Schwarzenegger. Anybody that was in an action movie. The funny thing is Van Damme was approached to do the first one, and when he heard the concept, he's like, no, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to be part of that. Okay. Considering some of the crazy movies that Jean-Claude Van Damme has done, seriously, that's the one you say no to? But I still want to see JCVD, the movie that he made, the last movie that he made, where he plays himself. Like, he plays Jean-Claude Van Damme, who is an action movie star, who ends up like in a bank holdup, and like the expectation is that he is going to go Jean-Claude Van Damme on them, and then he does, and then he becomes the action hero that he plays in the movies as the actor Jean-Claude Van Damme, and everybody realizes how ridiculous it is because he is just an actor in ridiculous movies. Cool. So it's all a huge in-joke. So just for I want to see this movie because it's conceptually, it's meta and not. And that just sounds so cool to me. But
I did read today, and I do see it right over here on the side, that Expendables 3, Nicolas Cage.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw it earlier, and there on the screen.
They are going for the complete ridiculous factor on that one.
Nice.
That's fantastic. And then last but not least, Paranorman, which this one comes from the same group of people, maybe studio, that did Coraline. And hang on just a second.
It says right there.
The new 3D stop motion comedy thriller from animation company Laika, reteaming the company reteaming the company with Focus Features after the groundbreaking Academy Award-nominated Coraline, which is a great movie, by the way. Paranorman is following Coraline, the company's second stop-motion animated feature to be made in 3D. In Paranorman, a small town comes under siege by zombies. Who can it call? Only misunderstood local boy Norman, who is able to speak with the dead. In addition to the zombies, he'll have to take on ghosts, witches, and worst of all, grown-ups, to save his town from a centuries-old curse. But this young ghoul whisperer may find his paranormal activities pushed to their otherworldly limits.
That looks cool.
It looks cool. It looks fun. I know Holden really wants to see it, but he freaked out during one of the scenes in Coraline when the music got dark. So we'll see.
I was also told that the book for Coraline is really good.
The book for Coraline is better than the movie.
I think Becca told me that.
Yeah, the book for Coraline is great. I've read the book. The book is better than the movie.
Oh.
They do something in the movie that is kind of disappointing. they add a male character to the story where there wasn't one.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, it's not bad because it's mostly an expositional character. So you can kind of see inside her head a little bit, because in a book you just know what she thinks. But in the end, there's a sequence where she could easily have saved herself, but they have the boy come in and save the day. And it's like, this is a strong female character all the way through. And you unintentionally, with a character that was not in the original story, undercut the fact that she's a strong female character, but by having her get saved by the boy, when they could have easily reversed situations and have her be the one saving him.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating because it was unnecessary when that had nothing to do with what the book was originally about. But I digress. Paranorman looks, it looks cool and funny and a little bit creepy, but in a fun to be scared kind of way. Kind of like Nightmare Before Christmas. That same kind of vibe. It's like, yes, these are dead things, and yes, they're supposed to be kind of creepy and icky, but we're going to have fun with it. So, I guess you get to give your picks now.
Oh, man. Okay. My picks. I'm going to go with Expendables 2 at number 1. Sync. And I kind of kept flip-flopping 2 and 3 for a while. I think I'm going to go with Paranorman at number 2. Born Legacy at number 3. That one has me confused. Timothy Green at 4. And I kind of feel I have to put Sparkle in there at 5.
Ooh.
I don't think it won't. It
Ooh.
Might be 6.
Ooh.
No, don't.
Do or it could Dylan don't. Dog you.
Shut up. No.
I haven't said where I put it yet, so.
You have it at number 1. Well, actually, wait a minute. Someone has it at number 1.
What?
Just say it. Oh, come on, you
what?
Know.
What? It better not be mentally. Come
who
on.
Yes. Who picks with her heart?
She does. She consistently picks with her heart, and God love her for that.
Exactly. I smiled when I saw that.
All right. So your pick's locked in then?
No. Yeah. For better, for worse. Once I said I'm done. I'm done.
I agree with you on exactly one of those choices.
Number one.
Okay. I think Expendables 2 is going to be the clear number one at the box office this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to say that The Bourne Legacy is going to be at number two. I don't think Paranorman's going to be able to get that high. I think while this is a kids movie, I think it has an audience that is going to skew a little bit older and a little more male. So it's not going to be the fully encompassing kid movie audience.
I don't really look at it that way either.
You don't see it that way?
Not as completely a kid movie.
Right, right. I think it's going to get a little more fan base from people who are fans of Nightmare Before Christmas and Coraline, who are generally readers of Neil Gaiman, because that Coraline was one of his books. So you're going to get that Hot Topic gothy kind of crowd who might be interested in this. So I think it is going to skew a little older, but I don't think that it's going to necessarily be a kid movie. You know, that rush of a kid movie kind of audience. Plus, any kids that are interested in it, you won't get that big box office on Friday because they're going to be back in school.
Not here.
A lot of them are.
I know, a lot of them are.
I know last week, my cousin who teaches in Arizona, she was talking about, you know, meeting her kids for the first time and stuff. So they're back. They were back as of last week.
Wow. I know. I mean, I'm originally from Boston. We don't start until after Labor Day.
We didn't start next week. Yeah, we didn't used to start until after Labor Day, but it's skewed a lot earlier now. Because I remember, man, that when that damn telethon was on, that meant that summer that was over.
Yep.
Jerry Lewis is on. Summer's over. Time to go back to school.
Yeah, exactly. That was like the death knell.
Yep. That was the end of summer. That should be the end of the summer series on Backseat Producers. We should do a Jerry Lewis movie. Just as a callback to the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon.
That's seriously not a bad idea.
All right, so I'm going to go back to my list. I said before, Expendables number two at number one. Bourne number four at number two. Paranorman one, because I'm sure they'll probably make a series of these if people like them, at number three. Mm-hmm. The Campaign at number four. I think that one, I don't know. I think it still might have enough juice in it. It could fall out from under me, but I think that one could do it. And Timothy Green at number five. I am not putting Sparkle in my top five. I think my safety bet is Campaign. I think the absolute worst it's going to do is sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So I think it's safe to put up there. And you know, if Timothy Green and Campaign flip flop, it's not going to be a complete surprise. But I think it could skew more that way, just because I wonder exactly what the audience for Timothy Green is. I just can't tell, because it seems like an odd little movie.
It does, and I mean, yeah, you have the sappy thing, but
and it's not getting great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes either.
Yeah,
I mean, Paranorman's up at 79% right now, and Timothy Green. I just refreshed. Paranorman is up to 80% now, and I don't see Timothy Green. Because it's doing it by release date, and technically the release date has already passed. It is at 42%.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's interesting, look at the Campaign actually has a higher rating than the Bourne Legacy, according to them.
Right. And Hope Springs has higher than that. Go figure.
I cannot.
I do like that Paranorman has such a high rating. That is good to see.
Because
it does look like a fun movie. Plus, I mean, come on. Those people put a hell of a lot of work into doing all that stop motion stuff. That's a lot of work. I would be devastated if I spent that many hours of my life moving things 1 millimeter at a time and to have the movie tank. That would really, really suck.
I absolutely see the logic in your choices.
25. Just back. Back for 100. All right. That is all I have to talk about, except I will make mention. I make mention on Backseat Producers. I'm going to make mention here. We're going to shove it down your throats for a little while. Scott, who does Backseat Quickies, he does Backseat Producer or Backseat Box Office sometimes. Scott and Sam and some of their friends are doing a marathon for they're doing a video game marathon, a 24-hour play session of video games to raise money for children's hospital or children's ward. I don't tell you what. Go to Backseat Quickies, the last episode. There's a link. Scott lays it out for you. So donate. It's a great cause. I will accept if you don't donate to Sausage Fest to donate to that, because you know what? Kids are important, and we should take care of them at every opportunity. But if you want to save some extra money for Sausage Fest, boobs are important too. Just saying.
I concur. Oh, Scott has one donation. Thank you, whoever did that.
You're welcome.
Oh, aw, aren't you sweet.
So, that said, let's call it a night. Thank you all for following us for 100 episodes. I didn't know if it would make it past 5 when I started doing it all by myself. But
really?
Yep. It was me all by myself the first 2 or 3 episodes.
Wow.
Till I roped Andrew and Jonathan to join me. And now we've got like this rotating cast of awesome people jumping in and out, helping out, and keeping this podcast fun. And 15 to 20 people participating every week for all year round now.
And
giving their picks and playing along. So thank you guys for the first 100, and I hope we can keep doing this for a while.
I hope so too. I enjoy it. Thank you, everyone.
And with that, we will see you on the other side of the weekend.
Bye-bye.